Mark Joe about Hate Street. This is TheBealPod.com, the week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from halfway between Fillmore and the Mission in scenic San Francisco. We've been gone for 5 weeks, a longer break than ever in TheBealPod history. Sorry about that. A lot going on. Today's Thursday, the 30th of May, 2019. On this date in 1539, Spanish explorer Hernando de Soto discovers Florida. 1783, Benjamin Tower of Philadelphia publishes the first daily newspaper in the United States. 1806, future U.S. president and well-known asshole Andrew Jackson kills Charles Dickinson in a duel after Dickinson allegedly accused Jackson's wife of bigamy. 1808, Napoleon Bonaparte annexes Tuscany and gives it a seat in the French Senate. 1879, Gilmore Gardens is renamed Madison Square Garden in New York City. Birthdays are movie director Howard Hawks, born in 1896, voice actor Mel Blanc in 1908, publisher Kevin Eastman, one of the creators of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in 1962. No doubt you heard it was a pretty clean sweep by Otsneba in the elections a few weeks ago. Sandra lost in Zugdidi. She campaigned heavily on being a daughter-in-law, with Otsneba coming back with the "wouldn't you prefer a son to a daughter-in-law," which is kind of gross. Georgia's population stands at 3,723,500 as of January 2019, a 0.2% decrease compared to the previous year, according to figures released by the state's statistics agency. Geostat on April 30th, said 52% of the population is female, 48% male, with 58.7% living in cities, 41.3% in rural areas. One third of the entire population is concentrated in the capital of Tbilisi, which is 1.2 million. Georgia's last population census held in 2014 registered a total number of population at 3.7 million. In previous censuses carried out in 2002, the population was 4.4 million, although that was in the Shevardnadze era, which was a little ridiculous, and who knows what that numbers mean. A million less than the census held in 1989. Georgian President Salome Zurabishvili says she is against the creation of a U.S. military base in Georgia, since this will be perceived as a provocation. She continues with the artful use of passive voice. "I don't think that that would be recommended," Zurabishvili says. Quote, "We don't need to take steps that might be viewed as provocations, and I don't think the United States would be ready for having a military base here that would probably attract reactions from both Russia and from these terrorist movements that are very active in the region," end quote. Defense cooperation between Georgia and the U.S. began in 2002. The United States began to finance, train, and equip program of the armed forces in Georgia. Georgia sent a military contingent to the United States mission in Iraq and NATO and Afghanistan. Deepening cooperation in the field of defense is regulated by the Charter of Strategic Partnership signed in 2009. The United States helps Georgia in the training of military specialists and reform of its defense forces. Foreign Affairs Committee of the U.S. House of Representatives held a hearing on ways to counter Georgia's growing aggression against its neighbors. Moscow's occupation of two Georgian provinces, Abkhazia and Tsikhinvali region, South Ossetia, was among the topics discussed. The hearing featured three speakers: Victoria Nuland of the recorded phone call, former Assistant Secretary of State for European and Eurasian Affairs, Dan Fried, former Assistant Secretary of State for European and Eurasian Affairs, General Jack Keane, Republican, former Vice Chief of Staff of the U.S. Army, Congressman Elliot Engel, Democrat, Chair of the Foreign Affairs Committee, mentioned Georgia in his opening statement, quote, "If you look at the map of the world, you won't find too many places that Russia isn't stirring up trouble. On its own borders, Russia's illegal occupation of Georgia and Ukraine has shattered decades of work to build peace and stability in Europe," end quote, Engel said in his remarks. And, of course, that was the idea. President Salome Zurabishvili is at the center of hullabaloo. On the 30th of April, Zurabishvili's Twitter account retweeted a post from U.S. President Donald Trump, who ridiculed his rival presidential candidate Joe Biden, calling him sleepy. The tweet was soon erased from her account, but not before it attracted the attention of the public. Presidential spokeswoman Khatia Moistrapishvili said the retweet was a technical error made by the social media manager. What does that mean? However, she said that it was a preliminary assessment, and at this time, analyzing various facts, of course, the likelihood of a cyber attack cannot be, wait for it, cannot be ruled out either. Meaning, we want to keep all excuse options on the table in case we may be able to concoct some sort of pretend way to say that this is plausible in case this thing escalates, which it probably won't. Exchange rate of the Georgian national lari hit a record low against the U.S. dollar on May 29th after falling to 2.7997. Georgian lari's previous all-time low of 2.7846 per U.S. dollar was recorded in December 2016. President of the National Bank of Georgia, Koba Gvanitadze, assessed the lari depreciation as short-term fluctuations, saying that economic fundamentals were sound and improving, but noting that it is impossible to have a full picture until the balance of payments data for the first quarter 2019 is available. He also noted that, quote, since the floating exchange rate absorbs shocks, it can be said, all other things being equal, each such appreciation will be followed by a period of appreciation. Super useful to have a prophet as the head of the national bank, but of course he said all things being equal, so he can always say, well, all things weren't equal, but I mean, that's sort of a ridiculous thing to say. 700 people, Orthodox clerics, civic activists, and local residents held a protest rally once again near the Church of the Resurrection at David Gareja Monastery on May 28th. The protesters gathered at the Church of the Resurrection at midday, where they raised the Georgian flag, then moved towards the Chichituri Church. Participants claimed that the rally is not directed against anyone and that they simply wanted to emphasize in a peaceful manner that David Gareja is Georgia. Our homeland should belong to us. This is what pains and nothing more. We do not want to lose anything more, even one inch of land. A cleric participating in the rally was shown saying on television, lack of agreement on where the border between the two countries passes came into sharp focus at the end of April when Azerbaijani border guards restricted access to part of David Gareja Monastery, Georgian-Azerbaijani mission commission tasked with border delineation between the two countries, met on the 14th of May, and later the 23rd and 24th in Baku. The next meeting will be held in Tbilisi. Emerging young author Becca Adamashvili has been unveiled among winners of the European Union Prize for Literature, marking Georgia's first participation in the competition with a win. Adamashvili, who's published his works and works full-time in advertising, is among 14 authors that claimed the honors in an announcement on Wednesday. Adamashvili, who was selected for his work Everyone Dies in This Novel and the other 13 laureates, will also receive a prize of 5,000 euro, while their entries will be published as part of a collection in French and English. Georgia is to launch new flights from Saudi Arabia during the upcoming summer seasons. Flynas, one of the biggest national airlines of Saudi Arabia, will fly to Tbilisi from Dammam, Jeddah, and Riyadh, major cities of Saudi Arabia, from June to August 2016. Flights will be offered twice weekly for the first two cities. Travelers will have a chance to benefit from four weekly flights from Riyadh. Finnish Airline will also have flights from Riyadh to Batumi. 50% of construction permits granted in the first 3 months of this year are located in the capital city of Tbilisi, according to new data released by the National Statistics Office of Georgia, Geostat. A total of 2,052 permits were granted between January and March alone. Nearly three-quarters of the permits were issued in just three regions of Georgia, half in Tbilisi, 11% in Ajada, 10% in Kvemo-Kartli. The fifth mass grave, allegedly of victims of the 37-38 Soviet repressions, has been discovered in Georgia's Black Sea coastal city of Batumi, announced the state commission created by the study. The corpses discovered in Batumi. Coins issued in 1935 were found in past graves as well. Political groups of Abkhazia, which calls itself the Third Force, as opposed to the government and the traditional opposition, has announced its presidential candidate for the elections to be held in July 2019. Its candidate, Almaz Japua, recently received attention for protesting against the idea of oil production in Abkhazia. Japua is already the second politician to announce his intention to participate in the presidential elections. Yeah, that's not going to be held in is going to be held in July 2019, but they have not had a full slate of candidates announced yet. The number of immigrants from Georgia was 99,000 in 2018, 15.8% more compared to the previous year. According to the National Statistics Office of Georgia, the number of immigrants increased by 5.9% and amounted to 88,000 people. European Union supports Georgia's right to have its vision on security issues, EU Ambassador to Georgia Carl Hartzell told reporters while commenting on the statement of President Salome Zurabishvili when she said that it was not recommended to construct a U.S. military base in Georgia. She wasn't saying that she didn't recommend that. She just said it was sort of disembodied, not recommended in general in the world. He says, quote, "Of course, the issue of security is crucial and should be discussed in a wider context. As for the military bases, it's the issue that is part of the broader context. The EU will always support Georgia's independence and territorial integrity, as well as its right to have its own vision on these security issues." Thank you, said Carl Hartzell. A scandal in the weightlifting federation. Tati Lord Kipanidze blames the main coach of the team for sexual harassment and accuses the federation of discrimination. Lord Kipanidze demands reaction to the fact and requests a refund of moral and material damage. Quote, "Temur Canjgava entered the room and asked me if I was pregnant. When he received a negative response, I really felt very insulted, and later in the evening he told me that he could put ointment in the groin area. It was very insulting. Even after that, there's another case he asked me if I need a boyfriend." Tati Lord Kipanidze said her lawyer claims that after the sportsman informed the National Federation about the case of sexual harassment, she was removed from the championship. Maya Stepanadze, a TV producer, states that she was fired from the TV company Imedi due to her Facebook post. According to her, the reason for the dismissal was the post published on the social network where Maya Stepanadze criticized the government for the special operation in Pankisi. Later, she joined the rally held in front of the parliament and expressed her position there. According to Stepanadze, after that, the director of Imedi TV told her that she was fired from the job due to criticism and personal opinions. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky issued a decree on the 28th of May restoring former President Misha Saakashvili's Ukrainian citizenship. Misha released a Facebook post later and thanked the Ukrainian president for restoration of citizenship. Citizenship was granted to the former president by Poroshenko on 29th of May 2015, a day before his appointment as the head of the Odessa region in southwestern Ukraine. Saakashvili resigned from the post of governor in November 2016 after his relations with Poroshenko soured. Becoming an opposition leader and creating his own political party, the Movement of New Forces, in early 2017. Statistics published by the National Statistics Office of Georgia have revealed that approximately 20% of Georgians lived in absolute poverty in 2018. Residents in Georgia's rural areas were more likely to suffer from absolute poverty than those living in urban areas. 23% of those living in rural areas lived in absolute poverty, while the figure was 18% in urban areas. The United Nations outlined absolute poverty as the deprivation of an individual to basic human needs such as food, sanitation facilities, health services, safe drinking water, education, information, and shelter. The average monthly salary increased in 2018 to approximately 1,202 lari, less than $450. However, unemployment and poor infrastructure is still a challenge for many, especially in rural areas. About 2,500 miners in the western Georgia town of Chiatuta, who went on strike on May 16th, went back to work after receiving an agreement over pay raise and improvement in working conditions with their employer, the Georgia Manganese Holdings. Miners were demanding 50% pay raise, improved insurance packages, and banning the transportation of polluting manganese ore through the town. Georgian Prime Minister Mamuka Bakhtadze delegation to the Minister of Economy, Natia Turnava, Health Minister David Sagarenko, and Education Minister Mikhail Batiashvili went to Chiatuta to mediate between the strikers and the company on May 27th. Following a two-hour meeting, the miners and Georgian Manganese Holding reached that agreement. The increase is 25% starting the 1st of July. And then another 10% within a year, but no later than July 2020. According to the Georgian Manganese Company, the average gross monthly salary of company employees is US$360 per month, or 1,000 lari a month. Georgian Dream Otsneva did not support the initiative of the opposition party United National Movement in envisaging the creation of a fact-finding commission over the Tamerlan Makhchelikashvili case. The project required the support of at least 50 MPs. However, it was supported only by 30, out of which all of the MPs are from the opposition parties. In addition, three Georgian Dream MPs voted against the initiative, while all of the others restrained from participating in the voting process. Malkhaz Machalikashvili, father of the teen who was killed, thanked the opposition and slammed the ruling party. They're afraid that society would learn the truth about this case. It's a responsibility of Bidzina Ivanishvili. Machalikashvili referred to the founder and chair of Georgian Dream. Tamerlane Machalikashvili, 19, was wounded in Duisi village in his own bed on December 26, 2017, during an operation. January 10th, he died in the hospital. After 25 years in office, Georgi Margvelashvili, former Soviet Georgia's fourth president, has returned to his former life as a politics teacher. Reuters visited the president in Dushetia, where Margvelashvili has started renting out a cottage near his own house to supplement his income. Margvelashvili, who has no state pension to fall back on, has also turned to carpentry, making furniture and other objects, some of which he uses to furnish his rental property located in peaceful countryside setting. My retirement from politics is also a way of trying to create a precedent in this country where there is life after politics, he told Reuters. Eurasianet publishes a story, Georgia Investigates President Trump's Retweets, in which the author tells a story of the Georgian Interior Ministry announcing that it was looking into the retweet incident for signs of cyber attack. The incident recalled an episode in Veep, an American TV comedy of presidential and vice presidential errors, where President Selina Meyer accidentally tweets a snarky remark about a rival and then blames China for it. As a part of the damage control effort, Meyer accuses the Chinese government of hacking into her Twitter account. New York Times dedicates a story to Lelo Burti. Every spring in Shukuti, a black leather ball is sewn together to play Lelo Burti, a physically brutal folk game. Winners carry it straight to the cemetery. The ball is the only equipment, and the eventual trophy is kept by the winning team and immediately after the game set down at the grave of their choice to honor that person's memory. The rewards are modest, pride and a dumpling-shaped ball as heavy as a cinder block, but they are cherished for generations. Lelo Burti was granted status of non-material monument of culture 5 years ago by the Georgian government. Paris, London, Milan, Tbilisi, the rise of Georgian fashion is the headline of yet another story, this time in the Times UK, describing designer Demna Gvasalia's as the most influential man in fashion today, and that he is from Georgia. The man behind the fashion collective, Sick Vetements, and since 2015, the profoundly inegalitarian phenomenon that is the luxury brand Balenciaga, the story reads. Jam News talks about customs and traditions in Georgia, which are essential for celebrating Easter, the most important religious holiday in Georgia. There are traditions and customs without which Easter could not be celebrated by any Georgian family, including even the less religious. Together with red eggs, home-baked pasca, Easter is also distinguished with no traffic jams in Tbilisi, only a few pedestrians walking here and there in the streets. It's an unusual thing because, as a rule, the graves of the ancestors and relatives are out of town or on the outskirts. In this regard, you will see one or two posts on Facebook on Easter in which people with their noses held high in the air rejoice. Finally, all the villagers have left and only the real citizens remain for a few days in Tbilisi. Yes, it's true. Hollywood Reporter runs an interview with David Mandel, showrunner of HBO's Veep ending, in which the episode brings back Mourman Shalikashvili, the former president of the Republic of Georgia, allegedly played by Eugene Alper. Mourman was storytelling, and his sort of gleeful lust for life is just very appealing to comedy writers. I could watch Mourman and Selena talk about real estate for half an hour, Mandel tells Hollywood Reporter. When asked if the character Mourman comes from conversations about real foreign diplomats, Mendel says, it's a little bit of the boldness. Perhaps some people are bothered by it, but there's a real shortage of naked boldness to the oligarchs from that part of the world. Mourman's the best of it. He's our spin on it. And just yesterday, the New York Times had a great article on Bassaini, the nightclub under Dinamo Stadium. Good article, talks about homophobia, fun, politics, and identity. Tbilisi's International Book Fair will be held the 20th time this weekend. Tbilisi International Book Fair traditionally is held at Expo Georgia from the 31st to the 3rd of June. The main part of the book fair is the book market, where exhibitors offer books, auxiliary materials, accessories, special discounts, and gift packages. British Georgian Society is celebrating Georgian literature the same time, 31st of May, 4 to 6 p.m. at UCL, University College London School of Slavonic and Eastern European Studies, Masaryk Senior Common Room celebrate this special occasion with a glass of Georgian wine, nibbles after a short speech from UCL SSEES Director and Ambassador to Georgia to the UK, Tamar Petrochashvili, Kitty Kalandadze, and Marina Tigishvili, Georgian language teachers at SEES who briefly will briefly talk about the Georgian alphabet, which was recently added to the UNESCO Intangible Cultural Heritage. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is spielpod@gmail.com or post to the form on our website, www.spielpod.com. And we will finish with, from 1966, New York and San Francisco, this is Left Bank and Pretty Ballerina.
She obliged me. Was I surprised? Yeah. Was I surprised? No, not at all. I called her yesterday. It should have been tomorrow. I could not keep the joy that was inside. I begged for her to tell me if she really loved me. Somewhere on mountain is moving. Says go ahead and find her. Just close.